to get ready for what God has in store for us. I don't know. Do we have children's church today? Okay, no children's church. All right, I lost track there. Sometimes you get so caught up with all the things you don't know where you are. How many of you have been to where you don't know where you are? Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, raise it up real high. And if it's your cell phone, make sure that the ringer's off so we don't get disturbed today and celebrating how good God is and being able to hear the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And I will do what it says I'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, in the process of sitting there praying during the communion, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? And He said, yeah, a lot. But the point I'm getting to, I was asking Him, Lord, is there an offense? And He said, well, He goes, there's always offenses. People always can receive offenses. So, because I ask, and this is what I heard Him say, ask the body for forgiveness. So this morning, I'm humbling myself before you. And if I have offended you or caused you ill feelings or hurt wounded spirits, I'm just going to tell you right here, right now, publicly, if that's you, I am so sorry. I have never meant to offend anybody. I do sometimes get abrasive and ugly, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did not mean to offend you. So please forgive me. Say, everybody say it together. I forgive you, Pastor. Man, that way the one that doesn't. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I have a word. I definitely have a word from God for you this morning. And the word is the great exchange. The great exchange. Christmas time is a time that we remember our Savior's birth. And it's a great day. It's a great day to celebrate our Savior's birth. And it's coming. There it is. All right. Here we go. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is a faithful saying and is worthy of all acceptance. Can you say acceptance? See, sometimes we hear the Word of God, but we don't accept it. So I want to encourage you this morning to hear what the Word says and accept it. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, and Paul is writing this, and in the process of him writing it, he said it right after that. He said, which I am the chiefest. Anybody here feel like you've been in that seat a few times where you was the chiefest of sinners? Well, Christmas is a time of celebrating our Savior's birth. Tradition says many of us is a time of giving and receiving, and we celebrate it, and it's a great time. But I'm here to tell you that there was one great exchange. And His name is Jesus. He gave His life so that we might have life. Shall we pray? Father, I thank You, God, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross so that we might live. Lord, I thank You for Jesus, for being obedient to Your Word, O God. Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit that You have sent to help us to overcome the enemy. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Well, I was thinking about Christmas time, and it's like after a few days of Christmas, do you realize that there's a lot of people running back to the store to bring back and exchange a lot of gifts? Have you ever got something that you went, what the heck am I going to do with this? Well, I don't know if you realize this, but I did a little research and found out that there's over $70 billion will be exchanged in the next week or so. My goodness, and brought back. Would you ever like to work at Walmart at the exchange counter? Anybody who ever volunteered over there? How many of you know that sometimes in the exchange of life and the different things we see and all, we kind of like tend to forget where we really are and what the season's truly about? Well, Jesus exchanged His life for ours, exchanging our old nature for our new nature. Amen? Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says it like this. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came and exchanged his life for mine. I don't know about you, but are you glad that God's exchanged lives for you? Today, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I want to share with you some of the great exchanges that I have desired to exchange in my lifetime. Anybody have some things that you'd like to exchange? Well, the first one, I'm going to give you a list of six. If you want to write them down, you can. If not, that's okay. Whatever you want to do. The first exchange in life is my sin for God's righteousness. My sins for God's righteousness. So thank you, Jesus, that you forgave me of my sins. How can God use me? I was talking to a couple of ladies this morning up at the worship team, and it's like, how can God possibly use us? And we can be like over humbly, but how many of you know that's why he came? And it's not about our righteousness, but about his. We exchanged our sins for his righteousness. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 says this. This is a faithful saying and is worthy of acceptance. I've read that scripture earlier, but we're going to go on a little further. That Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, which I am the chiefest. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy. How many of you have obtained mercy and you're glad for it? Amen. That in me first, Jesus might show all long suffering. Do you know that he had to look at us and we had to look at ourselves? Watch this, as a pattern, say pattern. You know, as I'm writing down some of these things to preach and proclaim, Jesus kind of thunders in my spirit and he says, this word is for somebody here today. This word is for somebody here today. As a pattern, Christ died and he gave us life. Then he showed us mercy as a pattern that we might show other people mercy. Amen. For those who are going to believe, they're not believers yet. You see, and God gave his life so that we could be the example and the pattern that other people are looking at. And they're trying to figure out, wow, do I want to be like that? How many of you know sometimes we don't represent our Lord and Savior the proper way? There are a lot of people looking. So it's time, say time, for us to examine ourselves and realize that we are the representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life. Do you realize that there are still people in our lives that we know that needs Jesus, that are looking at us, and we're supposed to be the pattern setting before them so that they could see Jesus and say, I want some of that. How many of you realize that you needed some more of Jesus in your life? Now, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who is alone, is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you say amen? Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors. Remember what I just said? We're ambassadors for who? For Christ. As through God, we're pleading those through God was. Yeah, pleading through us. I'm looking right. I must have the wrong glasses. Through God, we employ you in Christ's behalf to reconcile to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become. Say become. I'm slowing down again because that word right there, the Lord said there's somebody that don't realize that we are becoming. Say becoming. Becoming the righteousness of God. You see, it's not about us and it's not about our righteousness, but as we repent and as we get things right in order, the Lord starts wanting to use us and bless us, encourage us, and give us that pattern to follow. And we follow in Jesus, and other people are following because they say, hey, you know what? I like that. Who was it? I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, it was Cheryl. She was saying, you know, when she first became a Christian and she had a lot of troubles and trials, and she said, man, if this is that Christian stuff, I don't know if I want any of this. But sometimes we have to endure. How many of you know we have to go through some endurance? And God does a miraculous thing. And that was what, 30 years ago, Cheryl? something like that. Exchange my sins for God's righteousness. That was the first thing that came to my mind. The second thing was my weakness for God's strength. How many of you know we've all got some weaknesses? But God says, don't worry about it. I've got you covered, because it's not about you again. It's about His strength. It's not about what we can do in ourselves, but what we can do in and through Jesus. My grace is sufficient, the Lord says to Paul. Paul said this. Watch this. Listen to these words. I delight in weakness. What? For have you ever been worn out? Have you ever felt like I just can't go anymore? Have you ever felt like, man, I'm just weak. I don't understand how these guys can keep going. I'm just wore out. A church again. Here we go. Oh, Lord. And sometimes when that person offends you or pulls out in front of you in the car lane or at Walmart or cuts in front of you, there's a demonic spirit that just rises up inside of you and you're ready to pull out a gun and shoot them. Well, I'm here to tell you that God wants to give us His grace. And we need to learn how to give that grace in this time of madness that we're living in. How many of you realize we're living in a crazy world? Therefore, watch this. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says this. Therefore, most gladly, what? I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Paul says, I take pleasure. Listen to this list. In infirmities, in reproach, in need, in persecution, in distress, in infirmities, when in my sickness, I take pleasure in my sickness. How could this possibly be? In reproach, when people criticized him, he was like, you know what? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to take pleasure that you're criticizing me. In need, how many of you know we all have needs and wants? Oh, God, I need it. And we plead our case. I take pleasure in being in need. In persecution, how many of you know there's a lot of harassment going around about the body of Christ that people will harass the Christians today. I'm here to tell you that Paul said to take pleasure. What? He takes pleasure in it. Then in distress, he says, what? In my sorrows and all of the hard things that's going on, I take pleasure for Christ's sake. Watch this. For when I am weak, then. When I am weak, then. So have you been feeling like you've been slapped around, abused, sick, punished, persecuted, harassed? That's okay. Take pleasure. How can you possibly say that, Paul? I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. Anybody here there yet? I don't really take pleasure in getting sick. I don't really take pleasure in these things. But Paul says, be of good cheer. Wow. Have you said in your life, I'm not there yet? Have you realized that we've got a long way to go, some of us? I mean, we've got to learn that God's in charge. But thanks be to God for the exchange counter. I may be glad you have an exchange counter where you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my problems. Here's my issues. Here's my sickness. Here's my disease. Here's my persecution. Here's my need, Lord. I'm distressed, Lord. Have you ever been through some situations? Well, the Lord says, be of good cheer. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Watch this. He says, to open their eyes. Oh, my goodness. In order to turn from their darkness to light. What a mighty God we serve. Have you ever been in the presence of the Almighty God where all of your darkness, all of the problems have just faded away and you said, wow. What a mighty God we serve. Into turning their darkness into light and from the power of Satan to God. How many of you know that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy? He take away your joy. I'm here to tell you this morning, go to the exchange counter. Just like we were talking about with the communion. Go to the exchange counter and say, Lord, here it is. I don't want this. How many of you ready to give up some stuff that's in your lives? That we might receive forgiveness of sin and the inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith. Say faith. We got to learn how to get in faith. We got to walk in faith. Exchange my weakness, Lord, for your strength. How many of you know God wants us to exchange our weaknesses for His strength? Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to work it out. Just follow Jesus. You see, because there's so many things. I don't know about you, but I got to confess, there's so many things I just don't get. I just don't understand. Have you ever seen the movie, Tom Hanks, Big? Did you see where he was sitting down in the conference room and they were all talking about something and he says, I don't get it? Sometimes I just feel like that. Lord, I just don't get it. What are you doing? Have you ever been in that position where you just, Lord, what are you doing? And you just don't get it. But that's okay. I'm going to explain something to you right now. Listen very carefully. You don't have to. You see, if you learn to let it go, you don't have to figure this all out. He's got it figured out. You just got to realize that you, say me, we all have just our parts to play. And all you're responsible for is your part. So if we listen to what he's saying to the church today, if we'll tune our ears and just play our part, just do what he's called you to do, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, says the word of the Lord. Huh? Watch this. Where am I? Be anxious. Oh, did I say the third one yet? No, okay. All right. Just checking if you were playing and listening. I knew right where I was. Exchange my anxiety. I need to change my anxiety for God's peace. Oh, what a season of peace, right? Oh, God, you're the God of peace, and we love to sing all about these things. And I'm here to tell you that many of us have way too much anxiety in our lives. We all caught up and we all consumed and concerned about so many things. But what's truly important, I don't know about you, but I need God's peace in my life. Philippians 4:6 says it like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication. That means asking. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests. That means you got to ask. Sometimes we don't ask and we don't receive because we don't ask in the right spirit. Let your request be made known to God, and watch this, the peace of God that surpasses, we like to quote it, the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding. Sometimes we love to quote it, but we don't get it when it says it surpasses our understanding. You're not going to get it. It's not about you getting it. It's about believing and walking and believing in Jesus and in what he's done so that we might have life. He's given it to us. It is a free gift. The peace of God. If we will go after it. Watch this. We need to change our anxiety. We need to exchange our anxieties for the peace of God. This is how easy it is. Watch. Oh, it's not easy. But we do have to give it up. Say, give it up. John chapter 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you that in me, that's in him. It's a me, M-E, capital M. Jesus, you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, meaning in this time and this age and what we're going through and in our life, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. Here it is. But be of good cheer. That's like Paul said, delight, take pleasure. What? Be of good cheer. Well, no matter what you're going through, this is my brother's favorite statement. It could be worse. It could be worse. I mean, you know, it could be worse. Aren't you glad you're where you are? Aren't you glad? I mean, we living in a crazy world and crazy times, but I'm here to tell you, I'm proud to be an American. I'm glad I'm born in this country. I don't care what everybody else is saying. I'm free. I can say hallelujah. I can say praise the Lord. I can say glory to God on high. Oh, a lot of places that can't do that. A lot of places can't do that. Oh, but the president, the Senate, the House. Give it up. You're worried and consumed and concerned and fearful about so many things. But the Lord says there's one thing. Say one thing. There's one thing that's important. Our relationship. Our relationship. You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a phenomenal, great, fantastic marriage? Get your relationship right with God. And it's going to work out. What? Well, it's just that easy. Because when we have problems with somebody, we have problems with God. If we're having problems with somebody else, then we are having problems with God. That's where it all boils down to. That's the root. Be anxious for nothing. You want the peace of God? Then get your relationship right with God. Because He says that love covers. Love covers a multitude of sin. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What? John 14, the peace that leads you. This in John chapter 14 and 27, He says, "Peace, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give." Sometimes people will talk about peace. Oh, you got to have peace. You got to have peace. Oh, read this book and you can get peace in your life. How many of you know there's only one way to peace? His name is Jesus. You can try all of those self-help books you want. And all the thing you're going to do is get more frustrated. I tried this. I tried that. I tried the other. And it's not working. Well, that's because your relationship is God was wrong. We need to get that relationship. Exchange. Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to change my anxiety for your peace. Can you say amen? The fourth thing I want to talk about exchanging is my disappointments for God's contentment. Uh-oh. Here we go. Life has been full of disappointments. Have you ever went and you thought that something else was going to happen and it didn't happen and you got disappointed? Anybody? Have you got to where you were in life and you went, what the heck happened? I thought something else was going to happen. Why is this, Lord? Why am I having to go through this? I was talking to somebody again before church and they said, well, their child is having a lot of problems in life. Anybody ever have any problems here? I just need to know if we're sinners. We all had some problems. And they told me, they said, guess what? I said, what's that? And they said, obviously God's trying to talk to him. Isn't that cool? We know when God's trying to knock on our door. We can tell things are not, we are struggling. We're having problems. What? And God says, I'm trying to talk to you, but you're not listening. I'm trying to give you some advice. I'm trying to give you some understanding, but you're not listening, says the Lord. Listen to this. I'm so glad that he took my disappointments and gave me his contentment. There was many things that I had dreams of as a young man. Anybody had some dreams? That all of a sudden in the process of life, things didn't work out the way I thought they would. Or did. They didn't work out the way I thought. Watch this. Sometimes I got let down because of ourselves. Maybe I didn't accomplish what I wanted to do. Maybe I was let down in my life. Maybe my car broke down. Maybe my house roof leaked. Maybe my job didn't work out. Maybe my spouse isn't doing what I think they should do. Maybe my leaders aren't leading me the way I think they should lead me. Maybe my children didn't rise up as good as I thought they should have. How about, can you say amen? Just maybe some things are not going your way. Just maybe you've been disappointed in life. That's okay, God says, because it's time for us to give it to God and realize that God's got contentment in all things when we trusted in Him, when we're walking with Him. Watch this. But glory be to God who teaches us. Who teaches us. How many of you are ready to be taught something? To be content, realizing that God is in control. Philippians 4 and 12 says, Paul says, I have learned. Say learned. Oh, I got to slow down again because there's another word for somebody. Learned. The Lord says, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to learn you something. Learn you some English. Learn in what state I am to be content. To learn. Man, somebody say learn. Just say learn one more time. Now, do you hear the word learn? That I have learned that in whatever state I am to be content. That means I got to figure this out. That means that if you look around, everybody has problems. If you look around, everybody goes through situations. If you look around, there's a lot of people that have been disappointed. But it talks about learning to be content with what God has provided. If you're not content with what God has provided, then we're having a problem with God. We're not having a problem with the person. We're not having a problem with our boss. We're not having a problem with our income. We're not having a problem with our car. We're having a problem with God. How many of you know sometimes God wants you to walk to work? What? Maybe He does. You know why? He might be. You might have an ear to hear if you're just walking instead of riding down the road with the radio on and fussing at somebody in front of you that cut in front of you. Maybe we'll just take some time. I don't know if you ever heard me tell you about the many times I've cut grass and walked behind the lawnmower crying and saying, God, why? 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 I don't know if you heard that story, but I'll tell you real quick. He said, because you're learning to shut up and listen to me. Okay. What do you say to God when He tells you that? Not too much. You say, yes, sir. Okay, Lord, I'm going to start smiling while I cut this grass. What? God just might be working in you. Say, work in me, Lord. About 10 of y'all said, I don't want that kind of work in me, Lord. Whatever the root of the disappointment, God wants you to be able to exchange that for being content in Him. The Lord says, you are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. I love you so much. So much that on, not December 25th, but on Christmas Day, I sent my son to come into this world that you might have contentment, that you might have joy, that you might have peace, that you might have life. Paul says, I have learned to be content, to exchange my disappointments for God's contentment. What a great day it is when we start learning to be content in God. The fifth thing I'm talking about is exchanging is our inability for God's ability. Our inability for God's ability. I'm not equipped to do certain things. How many of you know that some of us are not equipped to do certain things? You just have to come to the conclusion that you can't do everything, but you can do what He's gifted you to do. Amen? Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do, but we just get caught up into following the crowd, doing what we think is right. The Word says there's a way that seems right to the man, and the end leads to death. Why are we looking in the wrong places for God's blessings? Why do we realize that I'm not able to do some things, but God has enabled me to do some things? Aren't you glad that He's enabled you to do some things? So this is the point I'm trying to get to here. Is don't get caught up in trying to impress somebody else with who you are and what you can do. Because if you're doing with what God called you to do, how many of you know God gets the glory? And in the process of giving God the glory, He also pours out upon you the peace, the love, the joy, the joy, the mercy, the compassion. And you start learning to put a smile on your face and you start learning to really enjoy life. Instead of living miserable, trying to impress somebody, well, I went and did this, and I did that, and I did the other. Look how good I am. Well, let me tell you what you should do. And that's why so many people are miserable, is because we're looking to impress people in the world. And there's only one person that's looking that makes a difference. The Word says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And when we come to realize that God, our Father, has encouraged us and stirring us and letting us walk in obedience, then all of a sudden we don't have to worry whether or not Murray likes it or not. We don't have to worry about if Bob gets up, don't want me to do so. I don't. That's okay. Say it's okay. Say, we forgive you, Bob. You sit on the front pew, you get called on. I've learned that to quit trying to impress people. You know what? I heard this a long time ago, and it's so true. It's like, you know how a kid draws and they walk up to you and they run up, they say, hey, Mom, Dad, look what I drew for you. And it's some kind of like crazy little drawing. And the parent goes, oh, it's so beautiful. And they put it up on the refrigerator and put the magnets on it, and it stays there until, you know, the kid's 40, you know. And because every now and then Mom or Dad walks by and they go, oh, you can remember with it. But our Father in heaven looks at us, and we always trying to impress him, and he goes, "It's okay, my boy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When we're following him, when we're doing it with the right spirit, with the right attitude, because God judges what? The intent of the heart. So when somebody else don't like what you're doing, you just let it go. Don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in the trying to impress the world. Because how many of you know they ain't going to be impressed anyway? You can try your hardest, and after a little while, they say, "Yeah, okay, get out of here. Boy, you bother me." Learn to quit trying to be. Sometimes we try to be super spiritual. This happens to a lot of Christians when they first get saved. And sometimes that, even after they're saved a while, and they go and maybe get filled with the Spirit, or they go to some church and some preacher preaches some word, and they get all excited, and all of a sudden they become super Christian, super spiritual, and everybody else needs to repent because y'all go to hell. You know, and all of a sudden they're the top of the rung, you know. Have you ever seen some folks like that? Don't raise your hand. Don't point either, Murray. the idea is sometimes people can get super spiritual and caught up in all of this stuff. It's not your ability. It's God's. It's not about becoming super Christian. It's about what did he call you to do? What has he asked you to do? Say, follow him. We got to follow him. Look, don't look down on others. You can just look at them and say, when they start murmuring and fussing about you, you say, "I'm not there yet. Keep me in prayer." Amen. You just go ahead and agree with them. Just do what God called us to do. Watch this. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things are at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love." Say love. Have fervent love for just a couple of folks. Just have fervent love for just the people that I like. Just have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift. How many of you know we each have received gifts from God? Each one of us have different strengths and different weaknesses. It's not about your ability. It's about God's ability. So when you have a specific gift, the Bible says, minister it to one another. Don't sit on it. Don't hide it. Don't put it under the basket. Lift it up and say, "This is what God has blessed me with, and here I got it for you too." Hallelujah. How many of you know, aren't you glad they got some folks that know a little bit more than you do? Huh? Aren't you glad they got a few folks that have different abilities? Aren't you glad that we have a few folks that can play a piano? Aren't you glad that we got a few folks that can play the drums and guitars? And some of y'all say, "No, I wish they wasn't here." Shame on you. You should repent and realize that the Word wants us to worship Him on the string instruments, on the tambourine, and all. What? Oh, I know a few people that don't enjoy worship. I'm so sad for them. I'm so sorry that they don't. But the Bible says, don't be grumbling. Don't be fussing about it. But let each one minister as God has gifted them. Don't get caught up in trying to make somebody feel bad about doing what God called them to do. As good stewards in the manifold grace of God. God, I can't do this alone. How many of you can say that? He says, "I know. That's why I sent Jesus." Wow. Again, it's one of those things that the Lord says, He knows. He knows right where you're at right now. He knows. You've been telling the Lord, "Lord, how much longer? I can't do this." The Lord says, "I know. But follow me. Rest in me. Because I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. If you'll endure. If you'll endure and push through and realize that God is faithful and true and righteous, and He will do what needs to be done to get you through." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He's pulling you through some stuff? Sometimes we got to get drugged through some stuff. How many of you been getting pretty dirty and muddy? I grabbed my dog the other night. We got a new puppy, by the way. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for new puppies? Sometimes you want to kill them. He ran across the street, went in behind the fence on the other yard, neighbor's yard, and you know, for some reason they just not obedient all of a sudden. They're not born obedient. You got to teach them, right? Ran around behind the fence, and I'm here. Come here. I'm getting a little excited. I think it was about 7 o'clock in the evening. By the time I got around the fence, I'm wobbling. And of course, the dog's down here. So I reached down there, and the only thing I could grab was one leg. You ever grab a puppy by the leg? Man, they scream like bloody murder. And I'm thinking, I barely got you here. Right? Calm down. Of course, I did want to rip his ears off. No. It's not about your ability. It's about God's ability. I can't do this, Lord, in my own strength. I can't do this. Well, God says, I got you covered. Matthew 7:21. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does. Say does. The will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous things in your name? Look how good I am, Lord. Look at my ability. I went to Bible college, got me a bachelor's degree. Look at how good I am. So what? What are you doing for Jesus? Are you doing what he's called you to do? Do you know? Watch this. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not done all this in your name? And then I will declare them, wow, I never knew you. Wow. Man, sometimes people, they're getting all involved in religion and trying to do everything that the do's, but you're not realizing that it's about, say, relationship. I never knew you. Have you ever considered that? I never knew you. Depart from me. Here you go. I love this part. Ye who practice. What are we practicing every day? What do people see when they look at us? Do they see Jesus? Do they realize that you're trying your hardest to do what God's called you to do? I don't mean that you have to be a preacher or a monk on a hill. No, I'm talking about just doing what God called you to do. That means spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Then the joy and peace and love and mercy. Therefore, watch this, Peter, 1 Peter 5:7 says this, 5 and 6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. That he might exalt you in due time. Say humble. My goodness, sometimes we got so much pride in our life that we will not humble ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I messed up. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help to forgive that person. My inability for God's ability. The sixth thing and last thing. I'm almost done. Exchange my failures for God's success. Exchange. Go to the exchange counter and say, Lord, here's my failures. Lord, you've shown them to me. How many of you know that if you ask God to show you, he will. But you're going to have to ask. My failures for God's success. Sometimes I feel like such a failure. When you look around, you can look at all. Wow, look at that church. How big it is. Look how, they got thousands of people. And the Lord told me many times, he says, don't count. Amen. Huh? You can ask Bill. Where's he at? Bill, in the first couple of years, he was a head usher around here. He'd come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, we got 150 today. And I said, don't tell me. He said, next Sunday he's coming. Hey, Pastor, we got 120 today. I said, don't tell me. Finally, he got the hint. He quit telling me. I have never, nor will I, count how many people are here and who's not. You know why? I'm not doing this. But for God. If God wants two people here, where two or three gathered, I'm in the midst. Sometimes people look around and they're looking at numbers. I'm here to tell you, if you're counting, realize that Jesus had 12 in his church. Hallelujah. Huh? One can set 1,000. Two, 10,000. So get serious about your relationship. Quit looking around. God, no matter where you've been, how many of you have felt, don't raise your hand. How many of you felt like sometimes you failed? You didn't get to do what you wanted to do. Things that don't work out the way you planned them. Here we go. It's God exchange counter this morning. God's got an exchange counter right here before you this morning. Watch this. It's or you could consider it this, the exchange encounter. You need an encounter, our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the encounter. Go to the relationship with God and realize that God's got a place, a purpose, a destiny. Don't get caught up in trying to figure it out or work it out or say, well, God, if you don't do this, don't get dangerous with God. You're going to end up in trouble. Watch this. Psalms 127 and 1 says, unless. There's a word for somebody here today that you've been trying to do things in your own strength. You've been trying to fix something. You've been trying to make something happen. And the Lord's saying to you today, listen very carefully. Say, listen, unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord is building your house, you're doing all kind of stuff in vain. You're running around, like I like to say, that little hamster in the wheel, boogity, boogity, boogity. You're making a lot of noise, but the Lord says, why don't you just slow down? Why don't you just stop and rest in me? Why don't you just wait just a minute? Because you're laboring in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, how many of you know He's building it? The Word says that He has built His house and the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. When we rest in God, when we realize that it's not about our failures, but it's about His success. Because what He did was He was born on Christmas Day so that we might have life and that He might die so that we can all learn to live under the Lord Jesus Christ, following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Aren't you glad that you serve a risen Savior today? Psalms chapter 118 and verse 22, it says this, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing. This was the Lord's doing. Do you realize that this is the Lord's doing? Watch this. And it says, it is marvelous. Say marvelous. It's just fun to say that word. Oh, it's marvelous. It's just marvelous. I like that word. It's marvelous. It's marvelous in His sight. That means that when the Lord's in it, you're going to succeed because you're doing with what He has for you to do. You're not just doing something for doing something's sake. You're doing what the Lord called you to do. Amen? This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We sung it this morning. Brother Lewis Brady came up to me this morning right before service, and he said that this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I went, yahoo! Sometimes we got to learn how to smile. Sometimes we got to learn that God is good. Sometimes we need to tell people what Jesus is doing for you. Well, I just don't have enough money. I didn't get no good Christmas presents. I don't have a good car. Go see Bob. I got it. I just want this. I want that. And I want the other. Man, aren't you? I don't know about you, but nothing on this earth could satisfy me as much as having the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord. Say personal. Personal Lord and Savior. He saved me from sin. He saved my soul from hell. I'm so glad. I am so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh my goodness. You see, too many times we're getting caught up into this material world. Material things. Trying to get a little bit better than this person. Well, you know, he spent $5 on me for Christmas. Maybe I should have spent $20 on him. Don't get caught up in the material things. God wants us to learn to come to the exchange counter today. Today, come to the exchange counter. Where my failures is, that's where God's success starts. Luke chapter 2 and 10. Then the angel said unto them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy. Say great joy. Which is will be for all people. Say all people. Huh. For this is born to you. Man, I got a couple words for some folks today. Jesus was born for you. Can you say for you? For me. This day in the city of David. This day was born for you in the city of David. A Savior. Do you have the Savior in your life? Do you realize that this day Jesus was born for you? Say me. Who is Christ the Lord? Christ, the Messiah, the called one, the Messiah, the Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He called you. He's calling you today to come to His exchange counter. You may have been disappointed. You may have had frustrations. You may have had things in your life that you exchanged that I didn't. That's okay. We're different. We all got different things to exchange. I want to encourage you today. Just stand at your feet if you would. If you can exchange some things today, there was a Savior born for you. Nobody needs to not exchange. We all need to exchange some things. We all need Jesus in our life. Watch this. Mark chapter 12 and 11 says, "This is what the Lord is doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes." It's marvelous. Can you just say marvelous one more time? Oh, we serve a marvelous God, and He's doing a marvelous thing. Merry Christmas to all of you. I just want to encourage you to not allow this season to pass without telling somebody Merry Christmas, and may the Lord be marvelous to you during this season and the rest of 2019, because it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. You know what? It's going to be a marvelous year. I pray that you have a Merry Christmas. That's your exchange counter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this season, oh God, that we could come into your presence with thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, we want to enter your courts today with praise, which we already did, Lord. Lord, we want to give you glory and honor and praise that you're due, Lord. Lord, we just want to wish each and every one here a Merry Christmas and their families. Lord, bless them. Bring your word alive like never before. Let the word of God carry out what it was sent to do. Lord, let it not return void. But Lord, we know that your word tells us, Lord, when we follow you, you will exalt us in due time. So we're not worried about when, where, and how things happen. Lord, we just want to repent. Lord, we want to ask for forgiveness for ourselves, Lord. We want to ask forgiveness for our church, oh God. We want to ask forgiveness for our country and our leaders, oh God. We ask you to bless them, Lord. We ask you to give them wisdom, oh God. And let your perfect will, your will, Lord, be done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you. I hope somebody tell them Merry Christmas.